Would you please pray with me as we come to God's Word? Oh God, we are humbled in your presence. Oh, you invite us. You invite us in. You have broken down this wall of partition. You have torn the curtain wide open so that there is access to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so you are inviting us all to your table. Every sinner, come. Oh Jesus, may you be exalted as we come to see you in your word this morning. Help us to have hearts that desire to learn from you, a heart that wants to worship you and honor you. Guide my words, my thoughts, that I might speak what is accurate and true according to your word and what is edifying for your people here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are here to worship Jesus, the risen Lord. Why do we worship him? Why not any other deity? Why not just recognize a higher power, a good force, a positive thought? Why do we worship Jesus? We worship Jesus because God the Father sent his very own Son to be born of a virgin and become a man, a real flesh and blood man. He walked on this earth for 33 years, never once sinning, not in his thoughts, not in his desires, not in his words, not in his deeds. He demonstrated love throughout his ministry. He taught with authority and infinite wisdom. He showed kindness both to small, to the children, and to the great. He was compassionate to the outcast. He condemned the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. He gathered a small band of disciples whom he taught and he traveled with, and he ministered to the general population of Israel with. He healed and he even raised the dead. Ultimately, as you know and as you've even heard today, he was betrayed. Betrayed by Judas, he was arrested, he was tried in an unjust court, he was flogged and beaten, crucified, died, and was buried. All of these things were prophesied about the coming Messiah, and Jesus perfectly fulfilled all of these prophecies. But I ask you, what good is a dead Messiah? Even if he had fulfilled all the prophecies, what good is a dead Messiah? What good is a dead miracle worker? What good is a dead teacher? No doubt these and many other questions were rolling through the pain-numbed minds of these three women as they came to the tomb that morning. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. Those three women, as they sat outside the tomb on Friday evening following Jesus' death and burial, they followed Joseph of Arimathea to that tomb, and they saw him place Jesus' body in that tomb. And they were overwhelmed with grief and sorrow and question after question, like you may have this morning. They were sad and confused, and probably angry. You see, these three women had supported and helped Jesus' ministry for most, if not all, of his 3.5 years of ministry. They had hopes and dreams for Jesus' kingdom as they saw all of the wonderful things that he was doing throughout Israel. In fact, Salome was so confident of Jesus setting up his kingdom that she boldly, if not arrogantly, had asked Jesus for a special place in his kingdom for her two sons. But now, all of these hopes, all of these dreams of Jesus' kingdom had come crashing down on that Friday. Oh, we call it Good Friday because we've read the rest of the story. But to them on that day, it was anything but good. It was everything horrific and evil and black. They saw only injustice, cruelty, hatred, and death. And this is so powerfully expressed in a 3-minute sermon by a gentleman named Pastor S.M. Lockridge. This sermon is an amazing sermon. There is no way I can do it justice. I invite you after this morning's worship service to go home and listen to it on YouTube. But the words are so simple and yet profound that I want you to hear them. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday, and Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. The world's winning, people are sinning, and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming had been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. And Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a-laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday, and Sunday's a-coming. Well, Sunday has come. At dawn, these women go back to the tomb with spices to anoint Jesus' body. And as they're going, as they're on their way there, there's a great earthquake caused by the arrival of an angel who came to roll the stone away. And as they come into view of the tomb, they see this shining, blazing, white, mighty angel seated on the stone as if to stay. Rolling that stone back was a piece of cake. Nothing is going to keep my Lord and my God in the tomb. The soldiers who had been guarding the tomb for fear that the disciples might come and steal Jesus' body, they had passed out as if they were dead, because they were so afraid of this angel. And the angel calms the fears of the women. Just listen. You can see it on your sheet there in your bulletin, but listen to what he says to them in Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." And hear these words. "He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay." Now, I imagine them slowly walking up to the tomb with excitement, with fear, with doubts, kind of all rolled together in one big confusing emotion. But when they see the empty tomb, they are convinced, or almost convinced. Listen, they knew that Jesus had died. They were eyewitnesses to that. They knew that Jesus was buried in this very tomb. They were eyewitnesses to that. And they know that this very same tomb is empty. They are eyewitnesses to that fact. And they have had an angel, or other gospel accounts speak of two angels, tell them that he has risen. Overwhelming proof that he has risen. And so this angel then tells them, go and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And as they run to tell the disciples, they are stopped in their tracks as they come face to face with Jesus. And with one word, he says, greetings. Some translations say, rejoice. And here they are, face to face with Jesus, the one who they had seen arrested, the one whom they had seen tried, the one whom they heard the crowds cry out, crucify him, crucify him, the one that they saw whipped and beaten to the point of being unrecognizable, the one whom they saw nailed to a cross, the one whom they saw mocked, the one whom they heard cry out, it is finished, and then yielded up his spirit. The one whom they saw his side pierced with a spear and the blood and the water flow out. The one whom they saw laid in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. That Jesus that was crucified and buried on Friday is now standing before them. Imagine. That was Friday. And this is Sunday. So what did they do? What did they do? Here's Jesus standing right before them. There's now no doubt in their minds that he is risen. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. They are eyewitnesses to his suffering, death, burial, and now his resurrection. They have all of the proof right before them. What do they do? Well, they go to a tree near Jesus and they worship the tree. No. Are you kidding me? That would be unthinkable. They go and they get a spotless lamb and they sacrifice it. No, absolutely not. That would be unthinkable. They pull out a picture of Caesar and worship the picture of Caesar. No, absolutely not. That would be unthinkable. They pull out a sack of money and worship this sack of money. Absolutely not. That would be unthinkable. They recognize that there is a higher power and they seek to become one with the universe. Absolutely not. That would be unthinkable. Jesus, the person Jesus, who they saw crucified and die and was buried, is now standing right before them. What do they do? They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Oh, my Jesus, my Savior. And one of the other Gospels said that Mary was clinging to him. They bow down and worship their risen Savior. Now, let me just remind you very briefly who Mary Magdalene was. She was an evil woman. She had been possessed by 7 demons. She had given herself over to a lifestyle of sin. It probably started by tasting a little sin here and there, and oh, it tasted so good. And then she probably delighted in some secret sins. There were not really any consequences that she could see. And so she jumped into a lifestyle of sin with both feet. And pretty soon, what seemed to fill her desires became the chains that bound her to her sin. And she became possessed by 7 demons. This is Mary. Jesus had cast those demons out of her. So she had followed him. She loved him. And now she recognizes that he has died and risen again. And she realizes that all that I've ever done has been forgiven. Everything, all of the sin, all of the evil desires, all of it is forgiven. You see, there is no sin so great that God's mercy in Christ is not greater still. There is no pit of sin that is so deep that Christ's mercy is not deeper still. This is the forgiveness that we have in Christ. Now, the evidence that Jesus is risen from the dead and is Lord over all is overwhelming. God's word, eyewitness accounts, historical analysis, your own conscience, the Spirit of God all verify this truth. And Jesus stands before you today as the risen Lord. Now, we're probably not all as bad as Mary Magdalene. Maybe you're a kind, upstanding citizen of this community. But the Bible is clear. The Bible is very clear that all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Our righteousness, what we think is good, is like that old rag that's sitting in the oil pan back behind your shop. And you say, well, it's a nice sunny day. I think I'm going to wash the car. I'm going to get that old oily rag out and wash my car as clean as I can. And you keep washing and you dip it back in that oil pan and you wash again. It never gets clean. That's how our sins are. That's how our righteousness is. All our righteousness is like filthy rags. Well, Jesus has come to save those who know that they're sinners and those who think that they're not. The gospel is for all of us. The question is, will you humble yourself and bow down at the feet of Jesus? Or will you ignore all of the evidence and bow down at the feet of pleasure or the feet of riches or the feet of religious ceremony, the feet of self-righteousness, the feet of scholarship, the feet of government, the feet of safety and security? What are you worshiping? What are you bowing down to? I present to you Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no one, there is nothing that is worthy of our worship like our Lord Jesus Christ. I plead with you, I beg you, come to Jesus today. Repent of your sins, trust in him, and just like Mary Magdalene, he will forgive you of all your sins. You will see Jesus anew, and you won't want to depart from him. You will want to cling to him as Mary Magdalene did. Please pray with me. Father, you are amazing. This plan from eternity past that you set into motion in eternity past came to fruition in your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, how he suffered. The agony of being separated from his Father because he took our sins upon himself. Oh, Jesus, we give you thanks. Because apart from you, there is no hope. There is no hope in our own righteousness. There is no hope in any other so-called God that we might create. Our only hope is in you. Jesus, we worship you. And we worship you alone. Thank you for your work that you have done. When you cried out, "It is finished," there's nothing more for us to do. You have done it all, and we praise you for it. We pray this in your name. Amen.